Then we talked last week about them. So he has a couple of people out there that today with signs. You see, everything they said God hated, they had signs saying God loved. They were here today. And then we had a lady from our church that had a sign that said someone needs a hug. I didn't really see it, but it was something like that. Does someone need a hug? And we had some Marines out there with Marine flags over there. Amen. Amen. Some people drove by today dropping F-bombs on them and cursing at them. And what we obviously we don't want to do that. Unfortunately, and hopefully it doesn't get reported this way, people will associate that with us because they're out there, even though there's people from all over driving around here. But we always want to be careful that, we just always want to be a good witness. And so we had, people out there protesting. Hopefully they'll come in and join us for church. So anyway, we have... 3 years ago, we had some people from North County, Delmar, Rancho Santa Fe, Encinitas, Leucadia, that area, ask us to put a church up there because they were coming down here. And what that means is that we would have a place where we had worship. We would have church services and everything would be live except the message would be video. Okay, it would be video of this. And so 3 years ago, we said, we're not ready to do that. We still got to move into this building. We want to just be here and, we had a lot to do. So now we're at the point where we're exploring, everyone say exploring, the possibility of doing it. And this Wednesday and next Wednesday, I'm going to be going up there and having some vision casting meetings. If you want to come, you avail. Anybody live up north of 52, by the way? Okay, a few people. Okay. If you open your bulletin, it says a satellite, it says 2020 something in your bulletin. Satellite 2020. There's a website there if you want to learn about it, if you know people up there. Here's the deal. We would love to plant multi-site churches, which is where a multi-site church versus a church plant would be where we would have everything live, but I would be preaching on video, versus a church plant where we actually send out pastors. We're going to do both, by the way. But we would love to have multi-sites all around San Diego and even in other states. I would love to put one in New York City. Because I just my spot and have a whole staff there doing everything, and then I would preach video and definitely go visit at times. And by the way, when I go there, have it be on video here from there, and so we can with technology you could do so much. And so this is our first one if we do it. So if you're interested, you're free to come to please come to the meeting. I'm gonna be up there this Wednesday and next Wednesday. But here's the deal. We do not want to do these just to give people a shorter drive to church or just to have a church there. We want to do this so we can reach that community with the people who live in that community. And so we are going to, in all these places, develop a team and develop a ministry team where we're going to say, how many hours of service are you going to render to your community? So before we start it, you need to know what's in your community. You know how many bars, how many foster homes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Where's all the people you're going to help? So that's how we're going to plant these things. And this, if this is our first one, we're going to go up there, and I'm going to cast that vision this Wednesday, next Wednesday. And this is what this is about. And the people we've been working with are clear in that. But all the other people who come, we want them to know that we have about 3,000 names of people from north of 52, give or take. That have either been here or coming here or whatever. So we'll see what happens. But I wanted to give you a vision because this location is our home base. From here, we want to reach 195 countries. We're going to be starting a ministry come next year where we're going to have, you're going to be able to go to classes every day called Impact 195, where we're going to send out missionaries and pastors to 195 countries around the world. And so there's a lot of y'all in here who need to be pastors, who need to be missionaries, and go live in those places. And so that we're going to start that next year. We'll tell you more about it. It's going to be the bomb, and, God is going to change your life and send you places that you might not think you would ever go and scare you to death, and it'll be the best thing that ever happened to you. So that's what's happening. Amen. Amen. So, charges tomorrow. You. Broncos. Security. I'm doing the chapel for the Broncos at 9 p.m. tonight. Hey, but I'm going to have my fingers crossed behind my back. I'll be like this.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
So, I tell you, the Broncos look good. I saw them last week. I think I saw them play last week. And they were on TV with the socks. The ugly socks. Yeah. They look good. They look good. But I got the inside scoop on the Chargers. I'm going to tell you what the inside scoop is. Huh? Jesus? Nah, so unfortunately, it ain't Jesus. The last game they played where they got their behinds whipped by the Steelers was a wake-up call. It was a wake-up call. And they got rid of a guy. Not because of that. I don't know why they got rid of him. But because what? Because he's sorry? Do you know who they got rid of? Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I think we need to move on to the Bible study. Anyway, hopefully tomorrow will be better than last week. So let's see your Bibles. Let's try that one more time. Say word. See your pens.
Lesson plan.
Hey, before we move on, can anyone guess what this is from?
Lesson plan.
Star Wars? No. I mean, good guess. Nope. What is Mueller? What's that? Huh? Who? I got 8,000 people telling me. Yeah, I don't know who that is. No. Have you ever watched a Laker game? And they go,
Kobe Bryant
or whatever. Whoever the guy is that says that, you never heard that?
Lesson plan.
Let's turn to. It's nothing famous. Let's turn to Matthew 15. Matthew 15. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for being good to us, and we pray that you bless us tonight and speak clearly. I pray we would listen. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend of mine, young lady friend of mine, and my wife's. I know how y'all are, okay? She's actually our age, and she was in a business deal, and she happened to get her phone number to some guy who consequently asked her out that day. She said no, and over the next 24 hours, she got 600 perverted text messages from someone. And so because wherever this person texted her from, it wasn't a phone number, we got the police involved and said, we don't know who it is, but we suspect it's this guy. So can you look into his background and see if there's any other evidence that he's perverted? Because if you send someone 600 text messages, I mean, one is bad enough, but when you're saying 600 in a day, and I was literally sitting with her, and they were just coming, bing, bing, one after another, just perversion. That guy's got a problem. Come to find out, he had some legal issues with some sexual-related stuff, junk. The Bible says that the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart, and anything you say or do or express comes from your heart. Let's read Matthew chapter 15, verse 17. It says, do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man? For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies. Anytime you speak anything, whether it be good or bad, it comes from your heart. Anytime you do anything, it comes from the heart. Now, we're in week 3 of a series called Body Language. Everyone say body language. Body language is a series on the Word of God, and it's the language that God speaks to his body, the body of Christ, the church. We saw 2 weeks ago that God's expression of his thoughts is called logos. We called it logos. Everyone say logos. And God expresses his logos or his rational thought or he reveals himself to us through his word, his spoken word. Last week we talked about his spoken word, rhema. He also will communicate to us through his written word. He'll communicate to us through the Holy Spirit. He'll communicate to us through creation. We saw those space nebulas last week, that the invisible attributes of God are clearly seen by the things he's made. Okay? You are the most wonderful thing or the most marvelous thing he's made. Everyone say, like you're from Harvard, say marvelous. Marvelous. Very good. So you are the most marvelous thing that God has ever made. God will communicate to us through his prophets. He's going to communicate to us through his son. And God's credibility is directly related to the credibility of his logos. In other words, if God is inconsistent in what he communicates, God is inconsistent, and therefore he ceases to be the God of the Bible. The Bible says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God is a liar in what he communicates, then God is a liar and he ceases to be God. If God is unreliable in what he communicates, then God is unreliable and therefore he ceases to be God. So God's identity and his credibility is directly related with the credibility of and reliability of how he communicates to us. His language has to be consistent. So what he communicates through his word, what he communicates through the Son, what he communicates through creation, what he communicates through his spoken word, through his written word, all has to be consistent with each other and with him all the time. Now, because we were made in God's image, our communication needs to be like God's. We need to be consistent in what we say with how we live, and what we say and how we live needs to be consistent with the Word of God. So today we're going to talk about our logos, specifically our spoken word. Now, it is true that more than 50% of our communication is nonverbal. Matter of fact, your nonverbal communication can be as high as 93%. Ladies, all ladies in the house, say hey. Okay, so all you ladies out there, say hey if this is true. You had a guy communicate something to you that made you feel uncomfortable or good, but he never said a word. They had to think about it for a second. And, oh, yeah, that happened. And it could be bad and positive and negative, and you could go, oh, it was all over me. He never said anything, but he was just doing some stuff, right? Okay. Or someone can say words to you, but his body language or, fellas, her body language says something very different from what their words say. Okay? So our communication is not only verbal, it's nonverbal, and most of our communication, more of what you communicate is nonverbal. Well, today we're going to talk about the tongue. And the tongue is evil. With it, everyone stick out your tongue. That's nasty. Your tongue praises God and curses God in the same minute. It praises God and curses people. It says, I love you, I hate you. You're my friend, and it talks behind your back. It's a fire, the Bible says, a fire set on fire by hell. It's evil and wicked. It's deceitful. It's not trustworthy. It cannot be tamed. So today we're going to talk about how we can speak and communicate more like God. Okay? Now we're going to look at the book of Proverbs. Turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is a book given to us by Solomon. Solomon was King David's son. Turn to Proverbs chapter 17. It'll be the first thing we look at. Everyone say Solomon. The Bible says that when Solomon was a kid and he became king, God asked him, Solomon, what do you want me to give you? And Solomon said, well, before I tell you what Solomon said, think about what you would say. Imagine if God said to you, I'll give you anything you want. What would y'all say? Don't say anything, but because I want, you know, just some of y'all would say, I want money, I want a woman, I want a man, I want a house or a car or a job, I want a personality. Solomon said, I want wisdom. Because with wisdom, you can get most of those other things. Okay? Wisdom is the correct use of knowledge. All of y'all who are in college, raise your hand if you're in college. Okay, very good. Let me explain to you what you're doing now versus what you're going to do when you get out of college. In college, for the most part, and I'm generalizing, you are gaining information, most of which you will forget. Okay, you take a test and you forget it. Wisdom is the correct use of knowledge. Solomon said, I want wisdom. I want to know how to use information. Solomon consequently became the wisest man ever to live, and he became the richest man ever to live. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines or mistresses. Now, that is a player. Brother's talking about they got three women, they're a player. Please, this brother had 1,000 women. Now, I'm not endorsing that, and the Bible doesn't endorse it. The women and his love for all these foreign women who had foreign gods brought him down, but it is what he did. And he abused his power and influence. But that's the truth. He was the wisest man and richest man. If he had that many women, he had to have a whole lot of money. Because he built them houses. It's true. I mean, that's a lot of people to take care of. And he built them palaces and houses and all this kind of stuff. But he wrote Proverbs to give us wisdom. There's 31 chapters in Proverbs. There's 31 days in the longest month. And if you want wisdom, just read a chapter every day according to the date. So today is the 18th. You read Proverbs 18. But number one in your notes. How can we communicate more like God? Number one, a wise guy limits his words, but fools always say what is on their heart. Now, I'll let you write that, limits, L-I-M-I-T-S. How many of you, by a show of hands, either know somebody or you are somebody who says, you already know what I'm going to say? You know somebody or you are somebody who says, I'm going to speak my mind. When I feel it, that's how I am. I'm just going to say what I believe, okay? Okay? Raise your hand real high, okay? All of y'all who are raising your hand, whoever you're referring to, whether it be you or somebody else, you're a fool. Why? You're going to see in a minute, the Bible says a fool is hasty with his words. It's foolish to say what you want to say whenever you want to say it, how you want to say it. It's foolish. So look at the person next to you and say, you're a fool. Fights break out in the rock. Bam, bam, bam. Look at the person next to you. Look at the person next to you and say, I'm a fool. Very good. One hundred percent of the people in prison who are guilty, some may not be guilty, but 100% of the people in prison are people who did what they wanted to do when they wanted to do it, and they got caught. The mouth speaks to the flow of the heart. When we say mouth, we're going to talk about mouth. I want you to translate that into all the things we communicate. People who do what they want when they want get in trouble. You just can't do that. Well, am I saying, you know, I'm supposed to deny who I am? Exactly. Exactly. You're a sinner. Let me give you an example. What if everything you thought came out as words? I rest my case. How come you don't say all that? Well, thank you. I thought you were a man. That's right. I'm going to say what I want to say. That's right. Yeah, right. A wise person, and by the way, how many of you would love to not only use your words wisely, how many of you would love to appear to be smarter than you really are? Very good. Because you don't want people walking up to you and going, and as soon as they meet you to go, in their head, they're dumb. Right? You want them to go, man, I wonder if they're smart, a little smarter than. Okay? Are you following me? Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to tell you some proverbs about not being a fool and being wise. Now, if you are dumb, anybody want to admit that they're dumb? Oh, good. Okay, it's dumb people, okay. I love this place. People are honest, man. This is good. It's like, hey, hi, I'm an alcoholic. And, you know, church, hi, I'm dumb, okay. I appreciate that. So all you dumb people, here's how you can appear to be smarter. Now, the reason you want to appear to be smarter, and the reason it's a good thing to appear to be smarter, because if you're dumb and you do something to appear to be smarter, that's a smart thing to do. Therefore, you're not as dumb as you think. I'm going to say that again because some of y'all are too dumb to have gotten that. I'm too dumb to have remembered what I just said. For all of you who are dumb, if you are smart enough to do the things that make you look smarter than you are, then you're smart. Because you're making people think you're smarter than you are when you're really dumb, so you're really not dumb. I said it different, but you got the point. But let's read the verse. Look what it says in verse 28. It says, even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. And when he shuts his lips, he's considered perceptive. My wife is not dumb. But my wife is like that. I come home, and I'm like, jacked up, especially after Sunday night, I'm all jacked up. And I'm like, and she's like this. What do you want for dinner? Turn to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. It says, in the multitude of words, sin is not absent, but he who restrains his lips is wise. In the multitude of words, sin is not absent. In other words, the more you talk, the higher chance is you're going to say something bad. I'm going to say it again. The more you talk, the higher chance it is you are going to say something wrong. So therefore, what this is saying is minimize your words. And the other one says minimize your words. You minimize your words, you're probably going to say sin less. You're going to appear to be smarter than you are. Those are two good things. So you can be a dumb sinner, but you can appear to be a smart saint by just talking less. The average, on average, women talk twice as much as men. On average, this is true, it's a fact. And if you don't like it, sorry. But I said on average. So on average, women talk 25,000 words a day with gusts up to 40,000. Okay. Kind of happens. Men talk half. Now, in my house, I said on average, in my house, I'm the woman. Okay, I talk 50,000. Today I'm going to do 50,000 just in service because these services are around 10,000 words. We transcribe one a week, but there's about 10,000 words times five. And then I'm going to talk in between services. And then I'm going to do chapel tonight, like I told you. And then I'm going to go home. And if my wife's awake, which she won't be, but I'll wake her up, and then I'm going to talk to her. As I told you before, my wife goes to sleep in like 5 seconds, so I wake her up and she just, and I talk to her, and she So, but my point is this, how many people talk a lot? Very good, all talkers. How many people don't talk a lot? How many people just kind of average? Very good. How many of y'all don't want to raise your hand? Show me. You should raise your hand. I don't want to raise my hand. Okay. It doesn't mean that if you're a talker that you shouldn't be a talker. It means you should monitor what you say. So if you're a 50,000 word a day person, you need to be careful that you're not talking 50 just to talk 50, that you're monitoring your words, because the more you ramble on and on and on with no purpose, the higher the chances you are going to dishonor God. Now, it doesn't mean that the people who talk a little bit, so some people don't talk hardly, that's not a bad thing. God made us all different. I talk a lot. My son, he doesn't talk. He's here somewhere, and he's probably saying nothing. And he's like, his favorite word, that if he says 10,000 in a day, 9,000 of those words is the same word. It's the word good. So Miles, how you feeling? Good. How'd you like church? Good. Hey, we're on the sideline for the Super Bowl, which we weren't, let's say we're on the sideline for the Super Bowl. Remember they made that catch right in front of us and all the fireworks went up? Did you like that? Good. Nothing. No descriptive language is in his vocabulary. Everything's like one word here, one word there. There's nothing wrong with that. That's how God made him. God made some other people. So wherever you're at, you just need to know that if you minimize your words and be careful with your words, you will be, look up here, more intelligent. And it is an intelligent thing to do because you are minimizing the opportunity to dishonor God with your many words. Number two, a wise guy studies before he responds, but a fool lets words fly. Proverbs 15:28. Proverbs 15:28 says, "The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil." Let me say it again. "The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil." When we were negotiating for this building, we had these meetings with a man named Steve Silverman. He worked for the city or some agency here in San Diego. And he was a very wise man, trained in all how to get permits and engineering, blah, 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 blah. And I didn't know anything about the process. So we would go to meetings, and he knew everything. I knew nothing. And then we had people in between who were all kind of presenting to him what we were trying to get accomplished here. And he would sit in the meetings and be quiet the whole meeting, pretty much. He wouldn't say a whole lot until the end. And at the end of the meeting, he would just blam. I was like, wow, how did you just like blam and all this wisdom comes out?
Well, Miles, I really didn't blam.
I don't blam. He said, in this culture in the United States, the boss is usually running the meeting. We're taught, take charge, blah, 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 blah. In the Asian culture, at the meetings he was going to, the boss would say nothing until the end of the meeting. Everybody else would talk, and the boss, the owner of the company, whoever it was, would listen to everybody's perspective and take notes. And after he heard all the options and all the ideas, then he would speak. Knowledge. That's what he was doing. He would get all this information from us. And people would say, what about this? What about this? What about this? And he would just listen. And at the end, he would say, blam. Imagine if before you started talking about someone, you asked information. Gossip. Your opinion. And before you started making statements, you asked questions. And you gathered information. I promise you, 100% of the time you are making an opinion about something, you do not know all the information. Guaranteed, 100%. And I'll even make this statement even bolder. After you do all your research, you still don't know 100%. You may know more than you did before, but there's still unknown. And I'll even make a bolder statement. You never and never will know all about you. Why you do what you do. Why you wear what you wear, why you talk like you talk, walk like you walk. You don't even completely, let me rephrase that. We don't even completely understand ourselves. And yet we act like we know stuff. And so instead of saying this and saying that and giving an opinion and what about this and casting judgment on people, why they do what they do, you should study how you should answer, speak less, listen more, ask questions, and then give an answer. And I promise you what will happen in the process of you getting information, you're going to change your opinion. And so someone comes into the conversation, they bring up someone's name, and before you start talking about them, you should ask questions and realize, I don't know the facts. And people do things, and when you watch TV, you don't know nothing about those people on TV. I mean, that there's so much, it's, yeah. I'm talking about people you're with every day. People, your family members even, you don't know them. You don't know. Let me say this. There's so much you don't know. And that's why we have to be really careful what we say about people and how we judge people or make a determination on what they do, why they do, because a lot of times they don't even know. And so what we need to do is study how we're going to answer. And if someone asks you your opinion, you don't have to give an opinion. You can say, you know what? I'm not sure right now. I'm still gathering information. I don't know. So a wise person studies before he responds, but fools just say what they want to say. I'm just going to say what's on my mind. No, the Bible says that you should deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Christ. In other words, I want to say something, and I feel like I want to say something, but God, what do you want me to say? How do you want me to say it? Number three, A wise guy controls, or wise people control their words. A wise person controls their words. Turn to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs 29. A wise person controls their words. It says, do you see a man or woman hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Now, don't raise your hand. Everyone say, don't raise your hand. Look at the person next to you and say, please do not raise your hand. Watch this. How many of y'all say stuff and then you go, man, I shouldn't have said that. Don't raise your hand. And right before you say it, you go, ah. Everyone do that. Ah. One more time. It's like a bunch of lizards or something. My wife and I were somewhere recently, and something happened. We were with some people, and God showed me something about someone. And I said, I'm going to tell my wife what God showed, what I noticed, I should say. And I went to tell her, and this little voice said, why are you going to tell your wife that? Who's God? Write down Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Ephesians 4, 29. Ephesians 4, 29 says, let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth except that which edifies. So don't ever say anything that tears anybody down. Okay? So when I was getting ready to tell my wife this, God said to me, why are you going to tell your wife that? What's the purpose? It's true. That's not a good enough purpose. Hear me, I'm going to tell you, it's not a good enough purpose. If someone's insecure and they did something out of insecurity, just because it may be true doesn't mean you have to tell somebody. If someone was deceitful, doesn't mean you have to tell somebody. Just because it's true. And so four times I went to tell my wife, we're sitting in the car, it's all quiet, I'm like, I'm going to tell her right now. And God said, shut your mouth. What are you going to get out of telling your wife? How will your wife see that person differently after you tell her? And I was like, well, probably not good, huh, God, huh? So why are you going to tell her? I'm trying to think of a biblical reason to tell her. There's got to be a biblical reason I can tell her. Because I wanted to tell her. And remember we said the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart? So when you're getting ready to talk, the words are coming up, bubbling up, and the words are right here. And as it was coming out, I had to go, Yeah, come on, boy. Yeah, of course, come on. I had to hold it in. And it's like whenever you get that and you want to say something and you're like, I want to say it, just go outside and like talk to a tree and just tell, and then I feel better now. All right. I said it to somebody. Look at verse 20. Do you see a man hasty in his words? There's more hope for a fool than for him. And a wise person will minimize words. A wise person will study, how do I answer this question? How do I respond? And a wise person will say, you know what? I can control what I say. I don't have to say what I want to say. Years ago, we were having church in San Diego State, and someone came up to me after I don't know what I had a meeting with them, but we were talking, and they had been to Toastmasters, which is an organization that teach people how to do public speaking. And I had never had a public speaking class, so I was asking what they learn. And they said, well, in Toastmasters, they teach us never to say, You know, like, well, you know, and I was walking down the street, and Jesus said this, and blah, 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 blah. And if you watch television, speakers say it all the time. President Obama says it a lot. I'm not saying he's a bad speaker. He's a great speaker. But he says a lot. For whatever reason. And they would tell me, you can't say Well, you shouldn't say So every time you say in Toastmasters, when they practice, you have to pay a quarter, just as a little token of I messed up. So I was like, do I owe you guys any quarters? They go, yeah, you said in your sermon quite a few times. I said, how much do I owe you? I said, well, you know, I don't know what it was. I didn't really owe it to them, but you get the point. I said, I'm never going to say again. Other than me explaining to you about ums. So I went out, did the next service, and for the next, I don't know how many weeks, this was years ago, I had to pay attention to what I was saying so I wouldn't say And when the started to come, the was right here. I had to stop and think, how do I continue this sentence without the in it? It forced me to speak slower. It forced me to think about what I was going to say. It forced me to measure and control the words. And consequently, believe it or not, I speak slower. But I eliminated the ums. And it also forced me to think about everything else I was saying and to control the words that come out of my mouth, especially because I talk for a living and I talk a lot anyway. I'm in danger zone every day. So I had to, and I'm not perfect, but by the way, I say a whole bunch of bad stuff. I say bad stuff, stuff I shouldn't say, if you want to, however you want to call it. But I had to control it. You and I need to control our words. You can control your words. Think about it. The next time you talk to somebody, listen to yourself. And listen if you are saying anything negative about somebody else. Listen to the people you talk to are talking about negative of somebody else. And if you do that and you control your words, you will do this. I promise you, everyone say, you guys are slow. I'll say it again. I promise you, and everyone's going to say, you will do this. If you measure your words and try to control your words and say only things that are positive and things that honor God, and you think about it, you're going to find yourself doing this. Hey, did you see Mary the other day? Oh, yeah, she. Hey, did you go to work? How was work? And it was. I have to go. And you're going to go outside, I am such a bad person. All I say is negative. And everyone's going to. And when you talk to people, you're going to start noticing people talking about everybody. Oh, yeah, she was this. And oh, your boss, I can't stand him. He's just, oh, here he comes. Hi, I love you. Hey, I can't stand him. And you're going to realize that people are spewing garbage. They're not speaking his language, God's language. That's not God's language. And if you say, you know what, I'm going to measure my words, I'm going to control my words, I'm going to speak less, I'm going to think before I talk. Now, remember, the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. So if your heart is wicked, your mouth will be wicked. If your heart is filthy, your mouth is going to be filthy. Okay? People who gossip a lot, they got an issue here in their heart. It's not in their head, it's in their heart. They're insecure. And the more they gossip and pull people down, the better they feel about themselves. That's what that's about. So if you want to change what you say, you can change your heart. Or if you want to change your heart, change what you say. For example, between now and tomorrow night this time, say nothing negative and only positive to people you see. Even if there's nothing positive to say. Hi, you don't like them, you ain't nothing in common. And it was very nice walking away. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. And don't say anything negative after you walk away. Like, I'm so glad to be away from them. I'm so glad I got through that. No, but say something positive to everybody. Say thank you, say please, say I like your shoes, say have a nice day, say how can I pray for you. Say only positive, and if you focus on saying only positive, the negative will go away. It's easier to focus on what you're going to do versus what you're not going to do. In other words, to say, I'm not going to say anything negative. That's harder than saying and accomplishing, I am going to only say positive. And if you focus on only saying positive, the negative will go away, and guess what happens to your heart? God says, good job. All of a sudden, you start to feel better because you're honoring God, he's honoring you, and you're speaking his language. Number four, a godly person stands behind their words. Turn to the next book, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 5. Now, Ecclesiastes 5. Ecclesiastes is a book. Solomon was the richest man ever to live. He had all this money, all this wisdom, all these women, and he... Women, wine, and song was his life. And he wrote this book as a statement to say, I had it all and I was empty. That's what this book's about. I had it all and it was empty. In the end, your purpose is just to please God. That's what this book is about. And look what it says in verse 5. It is better not to vow than to make a vow and not pay it. Do not let your mouth... Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin. In other words, don't let your mouth write a check your behind cannot cash. That's what that verse says. Y'all know that saying, right? I kind of modified it a little bit, but y'all know it. Don't let your mouth write a check your behind can't cash. In other words, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, and you know you can't do it. You know you can't do it. And one example would be some little guy who can't fight threatening a big guy who knows he can't beat him. Come on, fella. You need to go home. Your mommy's calling you. Go home, okay? What God is saying here, if you say it, mean it. Why? Because when God says it, he means it. And if God says something, he means it, you need to say something to mean it. Your yes means to me a yes, your no means to me a no. We talked last week about a pocket veto. A pocket veto is a business term. Veto means no. Pocket means your pocket. It's really not hard, but I know we got some self-proclaimed dumb people here, so let me say it again. I'm just saying. Pocket veto. No in your pocket. So here's how pocket veto works. You make a promise at work to your girlfriend, your wife, your husband, your boyfriend, your homie, whoever, your home skillet. I'm going to be there at 5:00. I'm going to finish that task. I'm going to do my paper. I'm going to be on time. And in your pocket, you have a pocket veto that says, no, I'm not. You know it the whole time. How many of y'all in here are late all the time? Raise your hand up real high, please. Be proud. All right, there you go. Here's why I'm getting ready to laugh. A lot of the late people's hands are in the back. Because they got here late. I guess y'all didn't get that. But anyway. Oh, I'm going to be on time. When you know you're not going to be on time. I'm going to finish my homework. You know you're not going to finish your homework. I'm going to, at your job, I know I'm going to do my job. And you walk out of the room and you got this pocket veto. Your yes is not a yes. You know what God says? Especially as one of my kids, may your yes be a yes. If it ain't going to be a yes, don't say it. Don't make a commitment if you can't fulfill it. Say, I can't say right now. Because that's what God does. So if you want to speak God's language, speak less and study what you say before you say it. Fulfill what you say. Do what you say. Control what you say. And let God speak for you. Give God the opportunity to put his words in your mouth that he may be glorified through your life. Amen? Let's all bow for a word of prayer. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness and your goodness to us. Thank you that you communicate to us with incredible integrity and consistency. Thank you that through your Holy Spirit, you can speak to us and through us. I pray our words would honor you. I pray our communication would honor you. Our verbal and nonverbal would honor you. And we pray that you would not give up on us. I know we struggle with this. I pray in the next 24 hours, especially tonight, we would watch what we say and we would realize as we honor you with our words, our heart will change. And I pray we would pay attention to that. And I pray we read these verses over and read Proverbs that we may gain wisdom, that we may live lives that are more honoring to you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.